God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. Tonight we're going to dig into the book of Hebrews for this half hour with my good friend Katie Erickson. How are you doing over there?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And you know, you've been writing on the book of Hebrews for a while now.
About a year, actually.
That's it. Just a small year.
Just a year. Once a week, you know.
Friends, don't be a pushover. We're going to dig into this. And if you missed us discussing Hebrews, trust me, it's easy to find podcasts on that on donotkeepsilent.com or at worldviewwarriors.org, because like Katie said, she's been writing on it for a year.
So yeah, about once a month I come on the program and, you know, talk about Hebrews. So yeah, we are wrapping it up though.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, it's honestly, it was a great adventure to write through Hebrews. It's one of those books that, like, I was familiar with parts of it, but had never really done the deep dive into all of it. And, you know, when I write on, I end up writing on every verse in the book. So, you know, you kind of need to really dig into it. And that's
you
always
wrote
the fun
on
adventure.
Every verse in the book.
Yeah. That's why it took me a year, man.
Oh, my.
I mean, as you know, I did a chunk at a time. It wasn't like a blog post on every verse.
Well,
or
yeah.
I'd only be in like chapter two by now. But
Right.
Yes. Every verse. That's how I roll. I'm consistent.
Goodness. And you change everything.
I try to.
Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. Again, Katie Erickson, blogger, speaker, author for the ministry. And Katie, before we get into this with Hebrews, where are you heading after that?
I am going to be writing a blog post series on the kings of the divided kingdom in Israel and Judah. So back in the books of Kings and Chronicles and all of that. So there was a few kings that were, you know, for the whole nation of Israel. And then the nation split 10 tribes in the north, 2 tribes in the south. So they had separate kingdoms going on. And that's one of those things that, again, I never really spent a lot of time just like, yep, there's a bunch of kings, moving on. So now I'm doing the dive into each one of those kings and just situations surrounding their lives. What did they do? Did they follow God? Did they not? What do we know about them? And then why does any of that matter for us today? You know, what can we learn from each of these kings?
Right. Absolutely. I think that's the one thing I'm very excited to, for you to show, because friends, there are things going on today that are so similar to what was going on back then. It's really eye-opening. It's not just eye-opening, mind-opening, spirit-opening. If you're open to it, friends, you'll learn things that you just didn't know about. And again, I don't know. My wife and I talk about this all the time. For years, we'd be reading in the Old Testament going, how do these people not understand? You know, we're thinking, well, we got hindsight. It's 20. And now it's like we're in it. It's so bizarre.
And someday people are going to be saying about us, how do these people not understand?
Yeah. how did they not see it coming? So super excited for you to dig into that. And right now, though, let's get into Hebrews as far as the conclusion of it. And we'll also share with you also later on new resources coming your way this year. Pretty excited to share with you about those. But Katie, before we get into all that, let's dig into the book of Hebrews here.
All right. So we are going to start at the end since we've...
Perfect.
Right? We've done the whole starting at the beginning thing like a year ago. So now we're going to start at the end. So Hebrews 13, last chapter of the book, verses 20 through 25. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact I have written to you quite briefly. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all." So this is the final section of verses in the book of Hebrew, and it does serve as a conclusion through the use of this doxology and some greetings from the author to his audience. So the first two verses that we read, verses 20 and 21, serve as a doxology. And you may be wondering, what on earth is a doxology? Why do I care about that? Well, a doxology is simply praising God. The word doxology comes from the Greek word doxa, which means glory. So it's interesting here that the author calls God the God of peace. And that's a phrase that was actually often used by the Apostle Paul. So remember, if you remember way back to the beginning of Hebrews, we don't know who wrote this letter. So some scholars look at this concluding passage, and because of that, they suspect that Paul wrote this letter. Because that phrase, the God of peace, is in there, and it mentions their brother Timothy. And of course, Paul and Timothy had a close mentoring relationship. So some scholars use this actual closing section to say that Paul wrote the letter. But there's also support for the fact that Paul did not write it. And we could go into that, but that's not where we're going right now, because that's the beginning. So when it talks about the God of peace, the peace referred to here is not just an absence of conflict, but it's that sense of well-being, reminding the audience that all of life depends on God. So then the author says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant. Well, that idea of the blood of the eternal covenant is one of the main themes of this letter. So it's fitting that the author brings it up here in the closing passage. He spent a lot of words in this letter comparing and contrasting the old covenant that God had with the nation of Israel with the new covenant that all people now have through Jesus Christ, and how Jesus has fulfilled that old covenant with his blood. So that's what he's talking about here when he says the blood of the eternal covenant. The old covenant was for a short time, but now with Jesus, we are under the new covenant, which is an eternal one. But it is interesting, then, that this closing is the first place in the entire letter where Jesus is referred to as a shepherd. Now, there are many other times in the Bible where the shepherd imagery is used. Specifically, we could look at Psalm 23, Isaiah 63:11, John chapter 10, 1 Peter 2:25. There's a whole bunch more. But Jesus, as a shepherd, showcases his care for people. Because sheep are pretty helpless and, honestly, quite dumb without their shepherds. Shepherds also had complete sovereignty over their flocks, which is something that we tend to gloss over today. That Jesus should have complete rule over our lives, as he is our great shepherd. He is the one who takes care of us, his sheep, who are, honestly, pretty helpless and pretty dumb without him.
You know, if you could, you kind of dug into it a little bit there, but that word sovereign, can you just kind of, you know, dig into that a little bit more to help people understand what that really means?
Yes. So most simply, the word sovereign itself means a supreme power or authority. And so basically, those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ believe that the God of the Bible is the only true God. So he is, therefore, the supreme God of the universe. He is the highest ruler of the entire creation. And scripture makes it clear that there is no one greater than our God. But we have the opportunity to serve that supreme authority of the universe. You know, in our sinfulness, we often think that we humans are the ones that should be worshipped. And, you know, we often apply that to ourselves, like we are the sovereign ones. But that is not the case, because God is the one who is sovereign over all people and over all things. And he's the only one.
Right. And friends, I want to dig into that even just a little bit deeper, because this is where it gets tough. Because, you know, do we really have free will or not?
Yes.
You know, and that's the okay.
Yes, that's my answer.
Is God really sovereign or not?
Yes.
That's why it's so difficult, friends.
Uh-huh.
And I hope, my dear brothers and sisters, and I know there's some of you out there, I love you to death, who would say God is completely sovereign, we don't have free will. I love you, okay? So I'm not here fighting, I'm not mad at you. Please don't be mad at me for holding a position that I believe, yes, God is sovereign and God gives us free will. I truly believe he knows all that. He already knew all that was going to happen. And that, for me, helps me to understand how much he truly loves me and others. Because he loves us so much that he is okay with us basically rebelling. Now, that doesn't mean there's no consequence to that. He loves us enough to say, look, you can do that, but there's a consequence. And ultimately, that consequence is to spend eternity without him. That is the ultimate end result. Now, if you surrender your life to him, you know, some people go so far as to say, well, you have a choice. You choose God or not. For me, where I stick is I'm going to surrender. Because that's still a choice, but at the same time, it's not. Because I'm going, okay, God, do whatever you want. And so I just want to encourage you to think through that. And again, friends, because of what's going on in our society, because of what's going on in our country recently, let's be honest, not just the last 2-3 years, it's been insanity. Okay? Let's start finding common ground. Let's look, we can agree, God is sovereign. My brothers and sisters in Christ who believe that, I'm with you, okay? I'm with you. We love each other. Let's love each other. Let's continue to love it. Let's not find the things that keep us divided where you may think there's no free will. I think there is free will. But that doesn't mean you're necessarily wrong or I'm necessarily wrong. It means we're not God.
Exactly.
Right?
And it's good that we're not God.
Yeah, believe me, it's good that I'm not God.
Same.
I would not be a very loving God. I can tell you that right now. I'd be pretty darn judgmental. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, you wouldn't be a good God. I'm glad you're not.
Well, I'd be good if you wanted someone who was like, yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
Their way. Yes. So with this, though, let's continue on with the book of Hebrews. And friends, I hope that encourages you again, because we've got to love each other. Before we get to Hebrews, find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. We're going to take a quick little fast cast break here simply because this is a good place to do it. Okay, Katie?
Good for me.
Oh, yep. Good. All right. Again, find us online at donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fast Cast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
I have been married now for over 24 years and have been blessed to have 6 wonderful children with my wonderful wife. My wife and I have taught our children not only the ways of God and how to live them out in the real world, but we've lived out a permission-giving household that allowed our children the most liberty possible when making decisions about things. We only had 2 rules in our house. Number 1, do not lie. Our second rule was obey God and your mother and your father. To dig more into this idea of living out liberty in your own home, go check out our blog post titled Teaching Liberty, Not in Slavery.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. And again, we've been discussing a little bit about sovereignty and mainly, though, about the book of Hebrews.
Well, sure. But the Hebrews brings up the idea of sovereignty.
Absolutely. So.
So
again, that's Katie Erickson over there on that microphone. And she is our blogger, author, speaker for the ministry. You can find her writings every single Monday on our blog posts there. On our blog, I should say, and they are blog posts. So,
wow.
Yeah, exciting times.
Yep.
Here. Again, you can find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Katie, you said you had just a little bit more on sovereignty, so go for it.
I do. I want to talk a little bit more about that, of God being sovereign. When we believe that, you know, how that applies to our lives is in obedience and trust. So we don't know every single thing that is happening everywhere in the world right now. We also do not know everything that has ever happened or will ever happen to all people in all times and in all places. But God does. God knows everyone. He knows every detail. Thoughts, words, actions, everything about every single person who has ever or will ever live. So would you rather trust someone who only knows a tiny fragment of maybe a few people's lives? Or would you rather trust God, who knows everything? God is all-knowing and all-present and can be fully trusted. So we're called to be obedient to him and trust in him because he has proven over and over that he is sovereign. He is worthy of our trust. So one other thing about sovereignty is that God's sovereignty should give us immense comfort and peace. The world is scary. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of bad things that can happen to us and those around us in this world because of our sinfulness and the sinfulness of those around us. But nothing, and I mean nothing, should truly scare us when we know that God is sovereign. Now, he does not control us, But he has this entire world in his hand and under his control. Bad things can and likely will happen to each of us, but God, in his sovereignty, is bigger and more powerful than anything this world can give us. So when bad things happen to us, that gives God the opportunity to show his sovereignty in our lives. And we can take comfort in that fact that he is still God, no matter what's going on in our lives. And he still loves us and his creation more than our minds can comprehend.
Absolutely. Friends, with that said, I just want to encourage you, do not fear. Anxiety, worry, get rid of it. Put it on God. Stop worrying about things that you cannot control. Friends, I say this because, look, let's just be honest with ourselves. We have seen a massive shift in society in the past 2 years. A massive shift towards anxiety, worry. And again, friends, what it really seems to come down to is controlling things, trying to control things we have no control over. I'm going to use this as an example. I have been blessed to be able to coach a high school girls basketball team. They worry a lot, okay? They're upset at the referees for calls that are made. They're upset with the player that they're playing against because, well, they dribbled the ball and went around me. And stop worrying about that. You cannot control that person, and you cannot control that referee when they make that call. So stop. Ready, drum roll, please. Stop whining, complaining, and making excuses. You just do your job, control what you can control, which, let's just be honest, mostly is your attitude. I mean, even your own body. Think about this for a moment. Yes, you can control how you're going to dribble a ball or maybe run. However, and I just want you to think about this, can you control when you get an injury? The answer is really not, okay? If your Achilles heel is going to snap, it's going to snap. You can't even control that. So when that injury happens, don't whine about it. Don't complain. Don't make excuses. Just try to have a good attitude and move forward. Move on. I'm not saying to play on an injured heel, by the way. I'm saying trust in God in this. Now, let's move that into big-time reality. Friends, things you cannot control, such as, diseases and such. You cannot control that. Yes, with the coronavirus, I'm going there. Yes, with the coronavirus, people say, well, wear a mask. It'll stop it from traveling around. Yeah, but it 100% will not stop it. It's going to get out. I'm not saying to be unwise. I'm not saying to be foolish. I'm not saying to not have common sense. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, look, there's really not much we can do. So we just need to live our lives. And we need to trust in Almighty God. Is God sovereign or not, as Katie was just talking about? Or are you just going to do your own thing and worry? What does worry get you? You have to answer that question. What does worrying about things you cannot control get you? I can answer it for me, but I'm going to leave that for you. Let's continue on with Hebrews.
All right, back to Hebrews chapter 13. We're in verses 20 through 25. And so the author is kind of wrapping up this entire letter that he's been writing. And he has this prayer for his audience that God would equip them with what they need. And this verb here that's used for equip has the idea of mending something that is broken. So his prayer is that God will make right whatever is not right, whatever is broken in the spiritual lives of the readers, and that they will lack nothing. So it's interesting to see the idea of doing God's will right next to the phrase of may he work in us. So we are to desire to do God's will, but doing so is only possible as a result of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We do good works because we have faith in Jesus, and it's faith that allows us to do good things that are unselfish in nature. If you want to dig into that a little bit more, go check out James chapter 2. So when we love God and desire to follow Jesus with our entire lives, our desire should be to do exactly what this says. Do what is pleasing to God. We should love God so much that our own desires are not worthwhile to dwell on. but our focus should be on pleasing God. So the last few verses of this letter to the Hebrews are greetings to the readers, which is one way that we know it's a letter that was sent by an author to a group of people. In verse 22, we see that the author calls this letter an exhortation. Well, exhorting simply means to communicate with emphasis, urging someone to do something. Now, the author has clearly spent a lot of time on this letter, so he wants his readers to take it to heart. It's interesting in that the author says that he has written quite briefly. This letter is 13 chapters. Yeah. Like, seriously? Briefly? Oh my goodness, what would it look like if he didn't write quite briefly? Yeah. 13 chapter letter, like this one definitely does not fit my definition of brief.
It's a pretty long letter, I think.
It is. I generally don't write letters that long. I sometimes write papers for school that are that long, but you know.
I'm glad you not only noticed that, but mentioned it because it's so true.
That makes me laugh. Like, seriously, I've written quite briefly. Okay.
Well, no, you have not.
You kind of dwelled on a lot of topics for a lot of time, just saying. So some scholars actually take that comment to mean that perhaps the last chapter or two was a separate document initially that was attached to the rest of it at some point in history. So that would make it, you know, make a little more sense, right? Of like, okay, the last like chapter or two, that's quite brief. I get it. Because it was right around the beginning of chapter 12. So the last two chapters where there was kind of a shift in the book of it goes to more like, okay, how do we apply all this to our lives now? So you could almost take the last couple chapters as a separate letter, but yeah, so quite brief 13 chapter letter. Got it. So, and then he does refer to Timothy in verse 23, who is very likely the same Timothy to whom Paul wrote the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy. We don't have any other record of another Timothy associated with early church in that time period. But we're not sure what the context of the phrase means there, where it says how Timothy has been released. Now, it's possible that he was released from prison. Could also mean he was released from some other obligation, maybe released as in starting on a journey of some sort. The Greek word used there could mean any of those. But whatever the situation, the writer is clearly expecting Timothy to arrive at the place where he is, and then the two of them would journey on to see the recipients of the letter. And so we have some more greetings. The author's written about leaders a couple times already in this chapter, so he encourages the greeting of the leaders in verse 24, along with all the Lord's people. Now, it's unclear what the author means by, "Those from Italy send you their greetings." We really don't know enough about the author or his geographic location to make sense of that, but apparently he was in Italy at some point. So finally, the author ends with, "Grace be with you all," in verse 25. So this is very appropriate, given that the author spent much of this letter talking about the significance of Jesus' sacrifice and how we are freely given the gift of God's grace. He does not exclude anyone who might read this letter from receiving God's grace, just as God excludes no one.
Awesome. Now, with that said, friends, again, I want to encourage you, if this has been, you know, encouraging to you, Katie has written a number of posts on this book. Like she said, for over a year. Was it over
a year? Yeah, it was about a year.
Okay.
Let's see. I had 52 posts on it. So
perfect.
Yeah, for right about a year.
So about a year. And again, her posts are released every Monday with Worldview Warriors. And so with that said, she's going into a new series coming up here. And that'll be on, not the book, more about the kings.
Yeah, the kings themselves. So yeah. I will reference passages in the books of 1 and 2 Kings and also in Chronicles, because there's a lot of like repeated stuff there. But looking at each of the kings, who they are, the kings of Israel and Judah, so during the divided kingdom years.
Absolutely. And then also, Katie has a number of resources that are available at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Her latest one that she's released is called Following the 12, and that's a devotional, right?
Yes, it's a discipleship devotional where I look at each of Jesus' 12 disciples, who they were as people and, you know, what influence they had in Jesus' ministry, all of that kind of thing. So, and basically then take you, the reader, through a discipleship journey based on those disciples with some questions for you to consider, think about, discuss with someone if you want, about each of those disciples and how their lives can apply to us and how we live out God's kingdom.
Absolutely. And that's available in paperback and Kindle there at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. And lastly, coming in 2022, the fall of this year. Haven't completely set the date yet, but we're going to be releasing our first novel with the ministry, Worldview Warriors Publishing. And what's it called, Katie?
It is called Call to Arms, and it is by C.A. Wolcott.
Charlie, our other blogger, and his blog posts are released on Friday. And why is this book so different compared to the others?
Well, like you said, it's a novel. It is a fictional novel, but the whole theme of it is on spiritual warfare. And he has a great setup of the novel to, you know, kind of show the spiritual realm and, you know, what's going on there and how this can apply in a daily life situation and all of that. And so it's the rest of our books are generally more, you know, nonfiction kind of Bible study-ish sort of books, you know, that kind of thing. But this one, completely different, but very amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm just so glad that Charlie's allowing us to release it there again. Worldview Warriors Publishing, coming in 2022. Call to Arms with Charlie Wolcott, written by C.A. Wolcott is his author name that he goes by. And, again, it's a novel, a fiction novel, kind of in the, remind me, Katie, it's kind
Frank,
of in the
like
realm
Frank Peretti.
Of Frank Peretti, yeah. Mm-hmm. In that realm there. So, friends, again, coming in the fall of 2022. Don't be a pushover. And this is Do Not Keep Silent. We'll see you next time. You don't know me now. You don't know me now. I'm not a pushover. I'm not a pushover. You can't feel these shoes. You can't make me move. I'm not a pushover. I'm not a pushover.
Do not be your own.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.